Before we start the pastoral prayer, I just want to remind those in the balcony that today is Communion Sunday, and our stewards will not go up to the second floor. So if you want to receive, to join the communion, you may have to move to the first floor. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, as we enter the new year, 2020, we pray that our mind will be renewed and we'll be able to discern your will, and we pray that you give us a clear vision. You are the mighty God, full of mercy and grace. You are worthy of our praise and worship. But we confess that our hearts frequently pursue fleeting things that cannot truly satisfy us. And we lost the sight that you are the true master of our life. Forgive us, Father, and draw us back to you. May the Spirit convict us of our sins daily, but also guide us to follow you wholeheartedly. Thank you for the precious gift of your Son. He is the vine and we are the branches. May we bear fruit of the Spirit and live a life worthy of your calling. Christ is the anointed one to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. When there are so many instabilities around the world and political rivalries in this country, we want to share this good news, to bring hope to those who are desperate. And we thank you for this privilege and the freedom that we can worship you as a congregation in this place. You are the great shepherd, and we thank you for all the under shepherds serving as leaders and co-workers in different community groups and fellowship groups, from junior high to senior high to RA, the collegiate group, the young adults fellowship group, women's group, to all the community groups in different locations. We thank you that you gave us the privilege to allow brothers and sisters to fellowship with each other in these communities. And we thank you, for the local mission teams that continue to reach out to different ethnic communities, both in our neighborhoods and on campus. We also pray as one body of Christ for those members who still suffer from physical or mental illness, and sometimes we face difficult decisions to make on their treatment. And so, Lord, I pray that you give them wisdom as they make those decisions. And we pray for your healing hands be upon them and grant them recovery. Encourage, strengthen, and comfort them and their families. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing. Let's turn to Romans 6, 15 to 23. We're going to use the ESV version. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are not ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a reading of God's word. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters, Happy New Year. So the title of my sermon today is Boldly Following Our Master. This is from Romans 6, 15 to 23. First of all, I want to show you a photo. Can we turn to the next slide? Does anyone know where this is? Anybody? This is Monument Valley. Okay, so this is located near the Arizona-Utah border. It's part of Navajo Nations. And does this photo remind you of any movie? Okay, I think I heard Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump is a 1994 movie. It won many Academy Awards, including Best Director, Best Movie, and Best Actor, and many others. Now, the main person, Forrest Gump, in this movie, played by Tom Hanks, he was running across the country for several years for no particular reason, at least on the surface. And he began to gain a group of followers. So there's this particular scene with this background. He was running in the front, and there was a group of followers. But at some point, he suddenly stopped right in the middle of the road. And he said, "I'm tired. I just want to go home now." So he started turning back, and as he walked towards the group, made space for him. And then somebody said, "Now what are we supposed to do? All these followers, they thought Tom Hanks or Forrest Gump, this person was cool and they wanted to follow him. But now this master decided to give up. And he decided to go home. I didn't know what to do next." So do you know whom you are following and where is he or she leading you to? It may not be a person, it could be a dream. A dream that you're pursuing in your life passionately. But when that dream becomes the ultimate purpose of your life, you may find out that it eventually does not deliver the satisfaction you expected. Now, we all know that Buzz Aldrin was one of the first two American astronauts who landed on the moon. I think many of us would agree, if you can land on the moon, that's an amazing goal, ambitious goal to accomplish in your life. And he did it. But after the moon landing, he actually battled depression and alcohol addiction. As he pondered how he was going to top the moon landing adventure. And it's the same question that those runners behind Forrest Gump were asking. Now what am I supposed to do? So he was aimless for 2 years. So who or what is the master that you follow passionately? And do you know where that road leads you to? Today in Romans 6, 15 to 23, we'll talk about whether sin or righteousness becomes your master and what the fruit is by serving either master. So the main idea of today's passage is we are shaped by the master we serve. We are shaped by the master we serve. Obedience to sin leads to death, For obedience to righteousness leads to sanctification and eternal life. And we'll explain what sanctification means and eternal life means. So boldly following our Master requires inside-out transformation. First, it starts with conviction in the heart. And it's through works by members of our body. And then eventually, it bears fruit. So we have three divisions for today. The first one is about the heart. We become obedient to our Master by being convicted in the heart and committed to his teaching. And then the second one is the works. And for this, we're going to use not just verse 19 and 20, but also Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. We walk through members of our body to shape our habits, and today I'll focus on spiritual disciplines, and we'll be molded in the process by the Spirit to become like our Master. And the third one is the fruit. Obedience to sin leads to death, while obedience to righteousness leads to sanctification and eternal life. Okay, so we'll come to the first one, the heart. Our Master is really the one that our heart longs to serve. Some Christians might say that, oh, Christ is our Master, but deep inside, your longing, what your heart yearns for, what you really love, is your true Master. So in Romans 6, 1 to 14, before today's passage, we saw that we are now united with Christ in both his death and his resurrection. And before that, remember the sermon on the last Adam? We used to identify with the first Adam. Remember, Adam introduced sin into the world. And what characterized that is that you follow your flesh. But now we identify with the last Adam, which is Christ. And the way to characterize that is that you're led by the Spirit. And they lead to totally different consequences and different results. But in verse 14, right before today's passage, it says that since you have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, remember that in the Old Testament times, law shows all kinds of, reveals all kinds of sins we have, but now you're under grace in this new kingdom. So in verse 15, Paul asks a rhetorical question. Are we free to sin because now we're under grace, not under law anymore? And this might be the question that a lot of Christians have. Since we're now under grace, whatever we do is fine. God would forgive us. Is that the way to live your life? And the answer is, by no means. And this is actually a question about identity. Getting back to what we said last time, who are you? And what do you truly love? And do you know who your Master is? Now, suppose you were a slave. Suppose you were a slave before, controlled by a bad-tempered master. But somehow you have been freed. You have been redeemed by a new master that treated you very well. But one day you saw the old master on the road. And he said, come, wipe my shoes. Or do this and do that. And what should be your response? Or it could be the temptations because of the sin. I said, let's do this and do that. And the key thing here is your identity. You still identify with that old nature led by the flesh, or are you now identifying with the new master and empowered by the Spirit? And this is a question of identity. God always saves us, shows us his grace, and then he demands us to do certain things. Sometimes we call this indicative, to declare who you are. And then he wants you to become what he wants you to become. And that's what we call imperative. Okay, so we are shaped by the master we serve. In verse 16, Paul is telling us that everyone is a slave to what controls us. You can choose to become slaves of sin, which leads to death, separation from God, or you can choose to be obedient. In this passage, I want to emphasize obedience and righteousness were used exchangeably to mean obedience to God. And you know that when you serve different masters, the different reasons to drive you, and you receive different results. So for Star Wars fans, there are plenty of examples, such as Ben Solo or Rey. Which master did they choose to follow passionately? At what cost? And what was the outcome? Who you ultimately become is not determined by your bloodline or even the environment you grew up in, but whom you want to follow. If you seek power, you'll be controlled by what is required to obtain that power. If you seek acceptance, you are controlled by what is required to get accepted by others. It might include pleasing other people that you don't really like, and hurting people you actually love. So I share a story of a mom with a scar maybe 4 years ago. But I want to share that today again with a different twist to illustrate the point, because it's a perfect illustration for today's sermon and to show who our master really is and how the conviction in our heart and deep gratitude can fundamentally change someone. So a teenage girl was walking on the street with a group of popular girls. She just joined this group, and she desperately wanted their acceptance. So you may say that being accepted by this group has become the master that controls this girl in all her behaviors. As they were walking, this girl saw her mom walking on the other side of the street, and the mom was excited and waved to this girl. But her mom had a big scar on her face. And so the leader of this group, or what we say, the influencer of this group, she said, "Who is that ugly woman that is waving to you?" Oh, she said, she felt embarrassed. So she said, "Oh, she's just my housemate. Let's go the other way." The mom overheard the conversation, and so she stopped quietly and she went home. That night, the daughter finally got home, and she was trying to sneak into her room quietly, but her mom stopped her. Her mom said, "Hey, come to my room. I want to show you a box." So she opened this box. Inside is a photo. And the photo shows a beautiful woman. So the daughter was curious and said, "Mom, who is this beautiful woman?" And mom said, "Oh, that was me 20 years ago." You see, when you were a baby, one day our house caught fire, and the beam from the roof fell down and hit my face. That's why I got this scar. But I was trying to rescue you from the house. And when the daughter heard this, she was in tears, and she apologized to her mom profusely for what she did that day. So today is Communion Sunday. Christians are truly transformed when we recognize how deep his love is, how he sacrificed his life so that we can have life, how he became poor so that we can enjoy his abundant blessings, and how he lived among those who rejected him and mocked him, so that we can be accepted by our Heavenly Father. Only when the gospel truth pierces our heart can we truly turn around to recognize him as our true master. And then we will not want to intentionally sin or enjoy sin anymore because we know the price he has already paid. That's when we begin to change. So verse 17 is a very important verse on the process of salvation. And let's unpack it. And can we bring up verse 17 again? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. So he first tells us that this whole process of transformation was God's grace. It was initiated by him. So we give thanks to God. And then he pointed out that we used to be slaves of sin. It began at our natural birth because of first Adam. But guided by the Spirit, the gospel truth convicts us so that we now can have a fundamental change, which results in obedience from the heart. So a true life change is based on our faith. And this new birth is granted to us by the last Adam, Jesus. So we move from this kingdom dominated by sin and darkness to this new kingdom dominated by Christ and who is the true light. In this kingdom, we're controlled by flesh. In this kingdom, we're led by the Spirit. So now that our heart is pierced by the love of Christ and is committed to his teaching, God's purpose for each one of us doesn't stop there. It's not just, I save you, you're forgiven, and that's it. No, it goes much further. He has a much bigger plan for each one of us, and that brings us to the second point, the works. We work through members of our body, to shape our habits, and this day, when I say habits, it means spiritual disciplines. And through these disciplines, God can mold us to become more like our master. So how can you serve your master faithfully? Do we just jump into a lot of work right away? We know that we're justified by faith, and we're now under grace. But does that mean that we can now lay back? No, in verse 19, Paul said that we should present the members of our bodies as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. And sanctification is a big word, which means a process to become more like Christ, to become more godly. Now, when you say that we should present the members of our body as slaves to righteousness, Paul said that he's using human analogy. I just want to remind everybody that we're not just slaves to righteousness, we're also children of God, and we also are heirs, co-heirs with Christ. So this is just an analogy to say that because Christ redeemed us, so now we are like slaves to righteousness. Now this may sound like a loss of freedom, right? Some seekers might say, oh, you Christians, now you have to obey Christ. You lost your freedom. And I'm free. I can do whatever I want. Right? So if you look at verse 20, it says that when you are sin, you have freedom with regard to righteousness. So let's think about it. What is true freedom? Thank you. Yeah, verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what is true freedom? If we want to smoke, we want to drink, we want to gamble, we want to get into pornography, whatever, whenever you want it, you want to do it, is that freedom? I want you to think about it. Whenever I want to do it, I will do it. It may come a time when you are forced to continue doing it, when you know it's harmful to your health, to your finance, to your body, to your marriage, to your family. Is that true freedom? Whenever I want to do something, I do it. As this verse says, you are free in regard to righteousness. Or is true freedom when you are free not to do things that you don't want to do? You are free not to do things that will harm yourself. And this is what we mean by slaves to righteousness. You are not led by the flesh anymore, but you are led by the righteousness. And what's the true freedom? So God has a plan for us. So let's first read Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. We truly have a wonderful AV team. All right. So, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So to talk about works, we must understand grace first. Yes, our salvation is through faith and is entirely a gift of God. And there's nothing that we can do that can earn us our salvation. But this verse points out that we are also created for good works. Sanctification, or to become more like Christ, requires actions from members of our body. And if you look at Romans, almost the entire book of Romans, Paul always switched between God's grace or the indicative part. We call it indicative. That is, he declares who you are first, and he shows his grace to you. Then he asks you to do certain things. That's called imperative, right? But it's not that he asks you to do these things so that you will become saved. Not at all. He said he first declared you to be saved, and then he said, now you need to match your new identity. And this is what we're talking about here in this section, works. Right? Now that you have this new identity, you don't want to be controlled by the old master. When you are facing the temptation, you don't want to tremble like he's your old master and be controlled by that anymore. It's a question about identity. And in this new kingdom, because of the deep gratitude and grace for what Christ has done for you, just like that daughter we use in that illustration, she will now want to do more things to hurt her mom when she realized how deep the love is from her mom. So yes, our salvation is through faith and is entirely a gift of God. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, but we are also created for good work. Now, sanctification requires actions from members of our body. Genuine faith always, always produces good works. Let me say that again. Genuine faith, as we saw in the book of James, always produces good works. Now, can you expect a healthy and strong body without good physical disciplines or exercises? Can you have spiritual growth without spiritual disciplines? While justification is by faith alone, sanctification requires cooperation from members of our body. But both are based on God's grace and our response to that grace. Now, however, before you try to jump into many ministries to serve, let's consider the question we just asked. How can you serve your master faithfully? I think the most important question is to know who your master is, what he said, what he wants, and what his plan is for each one of us. So to serve our God, the most important thing is actually to abide in him through his word and his prayer. These are two important spiritual disciplines. There are many others, like worship, serving, fellowship, many other things. But there are these two important things I want to focus today. That is to abide in Him through His word and His prayer. Because only through this, if you don't even know what God said in the Bible, if you don't know what He has already revealed to us, and every day as you make your plan, if you don't come to Him so that He will show you what your next step should be, you will not be very effective in doing God's work. And actually, this morning in the prayer meeting, we also studied Romans chapter 12. Our mind needs to be renewed daily, and to do that is through the word and prayer. Spiritual disciplines are actions. Things you actually do with members of your body is not merely an attitude. And there are means to an end, and that is sanctification. He will mold us and shape us through these disciplines. And we have to devote the members of our bodies to these habits, these spiritual disciplines, to promote spiritual growth among members of our bodies. Now, and Jesus is our best example. So I want to focus on these two because God, to be obedient to our Master's will requires knowledge of God's word. And we need constant communication with our Master, the Commander-in-Chief, to know what our next step should be, and that's through prayer. So His word. In 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, it says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Well, this is the beginning of the year. As I did last year, I really would like to introduce a Bible reading plan if anybody wants to make a New Year resolution. So I'm going to show you this one I did last year, starting from January 1st, 2019. So I did it in two groups. One is with my wife, Wendy. One is with two young adults. Now, as I go through these spiritual disciplines, I'll share my struggles as well. at one point, first of all, they were always on schedule. But at one point in 2019, I was more than 20 days behind everybody. And my wife, as an overachiever, she finished the plan 10 days before the end of 2019. So I tried to find out what her secret was. I want to share this with everybody. So her secret was wearing a headset. If you're a noise-canceling one, even better. Whenever she does her chores. And since she does a lot of chores in the house, she finished the Bible faster than I could. And after I found out about that trick, I started doing the same. In the morning when I make my coffee, when I cook my oatmeal or wash dishes, or even doing my 4-minute no equipment workout, I wear the headset and I begin to catch up. So I finally finished it by Friday, January 3rd, 2020. So it's doable. If I can do it, you can do it. Now, I want to say a few things about this particular Bible reading plan. I'm not saying it's the best, but someone I use, I like it, because for every book, it has a video that gives you one or two videos that give you an overview of the book. And it's from the Bible Project. So if you want to search for this Bible reading plan, you just say Bible Reading Plan Bible Project, for example. You can find it. All right? So I encourage you to do it. I know it's January 5th, but you can catch up. Just do more chores in the house. And you can catch up. And especially encourage the husbands. You will achieve both purposes. Make your wife happy, and you can finish the Bible reading. It's very satisfying. So that's the first one, the spiritual discipline. You need to read God's word. If you don't know even know God's word, how can you do God's work, right? The second thing is prayer. We need constant communication with our Master. If you want to know what your next step should be, what His will is. And the book of Psalms is an excellent example that shows how we can pray to Him. We can pray personally and we can pray corporately. And if you look at our bulletin, we have quite a few prayer meetings. In the past few months, I think Andrew organized a few bonfire prayer meetings with some specific focus. Every Wednesday night, we have a youth ministry prayer meeting. Uncle Benny is always there. It's attended by several EC members. And every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, you have several pastors, elders, brothers and sisters praying together at 8 a.m. for this church. So you can check the church bulletin for all these meeting times. As the English congregation is going to face many challenges in the coming month, let's all come together to seek His will. And I'll invite you to join any of these prayer meetings. Again, spiritual disciplines about putting your members of your body into actions. As we abide in Him through the study of His word, through the prayer and other spiritual disciplines, including worshiping together, may the Lord give us clear directions on how we should use members of our body to serve our Master. And through these different spiritual disciplines, we can be molded to be more like Him. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." Now let me move on to the third point, the fruit. I think I'm running out of time. Okay. So what is the fruit if you're obedient to sin or to righteousness? We know the results of sin, right? As we discuss in 620, as we see in 623, the wages of sin is death. It's very interesting you use the word wages. That means the payment will be full and it will come and it's death. But when you talk about righteousness, it's a free gift from God. And not only that you are saved, not only that your relationship with God is restored, He also wants to give you an abundant life. But if we are obedient to righteousness and abide in Him, Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So your job is to abide in Him. And His job is to prune you and to make you grow. As we abide in Him through the spiritual disciplines and to do good works He has prepared for us to do, we begin to bear fruit of the Spirit as described in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, we'll be more and more like Jesus, our Master, and that is the whole goal of sanctification. Moreover, we have a closer relationship with God, with Jesus, and which is the definition of eternal life, according to John 17. Eternal life is to know Christ and the one who sent Him to, and know. The word know means to have an intimate relationship. All right, so coming back to our main idea, if we go to the main, yes. So we are shaped by the Master we serve. So it's very important you pick the right Master. Obedience to sin, according to your flesh, leads to death. Broken relationship with God, broken relationships with others. While obedience to righteousness leads to sanctification and eternal life. Jesus is the Master. That gives us a vision even bigger than moon landing. And the vision is to make disciples of all nations. While other masters lord over their slaves, He's the servant Master and great shepherd that laid down His life for His sheep. He's the Master that reveals His character and His will through the Bible, His word. And He is always ready to listen as we pray to Him. Moreover, He gave us the Spirit to guide us and empower us to follow Him boldly. How do you follow a Master boldly? Only if you know him, you have a good relationship with him, and you can discern his will. So before we end today's sermon, I would like to invite you to reflect on these two questions. What are you seeking? Or in NIV, what do you want? And this is the first question Jesus asked his future disciples in John 1:38. What do you want? What are you seeking? And the second question is, who is your true master? In other words, what does your heart truly long for? And I hope that after today's message, the answers will become clear. But let's spend 1 minute to pray quietly and to reflect on these two questions. And after that, I'll close with a prayer.